Kryptonauts, and welcome to Cryptocurrency Chat, episode 532. Here with Jake Jabarelli on this beautiful July 12, 2023 day, hanging out here in Spatial, getting ready to give you some podcast. With that said, let's go ahead and jump into our first news article, which we have here on screen. I'm going to switch over here. And it says, former SEC chair says Bitcoin ETF could be approved if these conditions are met. Did you get a chance to read it?
Yeah, I did kind of go through it. Yeah, we both went through it a little bit. One thing I don't like is when I look when I leave my character alone, he starts looking off into space.
This article is talking about a former SEC chairman, Jay Clayton. I guess he was in an interview on CNBC, was it yesterday? No, Monday, on Monday, right?
Yeah.
And he's over here saying, hey, you know, hopefully the spot ETF is very similar to a futures ETF, which is kind of dumb because they're completely different.
Yeah, one supports entirely different thing. When you're doing futures, you're betting on the future. When you're doing spot, you're doing it right now. So,
and what I was saying off air is that, and what I said on other podcast episodes is that future ETFs, we can't play that game. That's for the big players. That's for the big whales that have a lot of money to manipulate the market and the futures market.
We do and we don't. We can play that game at a relatively small scale. And people are spending like, you know, maybe $500,000 to $5,000 are going to have no effect on the market whatsoever. And you can certainly do it. I mean, that's one thing that crypto it's been really good at, is letting the little player, the small fish, play with the big fish and not get eaten. Although you can, of course, lose your shirt. You just won't lose it the same way you will in the regular market. But you can technically make futures. You're just not going to see the same kind of moves the big players are going to see. People putting down $1 million on, or $1 billion even, on Bitcoin in the future are betting that it's going to go up or down at that time. Yes, they're going to lose a lot more than we are. Or gain a lot more.
That number never really touches. That $1 billion never actually touches Bitcoin. That $1 billion stays on those platforms like Fidelity,
right.
You know, Vanguard.
Mm-hmm.
That money never touches Bitcoin. But when you have a spot ETF, people have to buy those. Fidelity and Vanguard have to buy Bitcoin.
And that's one of the reasons the SEC has been saying off. But the whole point of this article is pointing out that they have a set of rules that they want people to do in order to make a spot ETF real, right? That's the whole point of it. They're saying if these conditions are met, quote unquote, whatever.
But what are these conditions which nobody understands?
Right, and that is one of the problems that Coinbase and Binance have been barking at the SEC all along, saying, hey, you guys want us to do something, but you won't tell us what it is. So
it's frustrating.
It's like they talk. That's like one of the things I ran into when I was trying to deal with politics here in California, is that if you try to change some political talking point so that it basically eliminates it, they won't let you do it. They don't want you to change their talking points because then they won't have a talking point in which they can, you know, yammer on about on the news. And they're like, no, don't fix the problem. Then we won't have anything to talk about. It's like, wait. This who cares about that? I'm like, running. Go ahead.
So this article is running on piggybacking off of the BlackRock news, right?
Right.
So that's been going on. That's hot. That's hot news, and that's still hot news to this day.
Yep.
That's already been what, 2-3 weeks? It's been like 3 weeks already since BlackRock came.
It's been since the beginning. Mid June? Put it in.
I guess the first initial filing failed, but they're coming back and they're refiling. And on the backs of that, on the backs of BlackRock, we have Fidelity, we have Coinbase, we have Gemini, and Valkyrie. All these platforms are applying for spot ETFs.
Right.
I don't know if Vanguard is.
Vanguard did it before. They're probably going to try it again. I mean, put it this way: we already know if BlackRock succeeds. That they'll be putting it, that everybody else will be putting their own ETF in, spot ETF, because they all want to play the game too, because they know they can make tons of money off of it. Why else was BitMEX so popular, and all so many other companies out that were doing in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and even up until very recently, they were all doing these spot markets because it was so ridiculously profitable. I mean, it's not always great, especially when the price drops, but you know, it's what they say. The reason Levi made so much money was because he sold the tools to the guys that were mining. He sold the jeans. He sold the pickaxes. That's where the money came in. Yeah, you might strike it rich, but
I still feel, that these platforms, if they do get approved, aren't going to actually. Even though it's a spot ETF, I think they're going to charge a hefty premium people to buy it off their platforms.
Well, I mean, why? I don't see why that would be true, because it's the person who's putting all the money down. That it's their risk, right? It's the people who are making the bet. If you're going to make a million dollar bet on Bitcoin going up to a certain price, that you're the one that's taking the risk. I don't know. You could charge people a lot, but I thought the percentages thing were based on leveraging. Or is this not? We're not talking. We are talking about leveraging, because that was the first thing that got approved, was the leveraged Bitcoin ETF. That was the one that was already approved. It's the spot ETF that's not approved yet, because that's more explicit. People actually put money into it.
Yeah, and I guess that's the biggest de facto, is that instead of just buying directly off the platform, the money staying circulated within centralized banks, it's now having to be moved over to crypto. And now you have to bridge over to crypto if you're having spot ETFs. You know, that's where it gets tricky with the SEC, and that's what they're like, we're not doing this. We're not giving up our billions of dollars to the crypto markets, because they will chew it up and spit it out.
Well, someone's going to make the money somewhere else. It is hard to definitively, and that's reason the best advice I ever got when doing spot ETF trading was to make sure you're doing small moves. You know, if you're going to get in, make sure you can get out pretty quickly. You can get in, get out, get in, get out. And that's, you know, you can make little by little by little, bit by bit more as you go up. That's kind of the trend that everybody's going for, right? Or if you're going down, it's the other direction.
Yeah. Stack sats and HODL, man. I do. Everybody asks, forever. Hey, Blockchain John, what do you? What's your strategy? What's your tactics? What do you do, man? My strategy is very simple. It's not complicated. I'm not doing any kind of rocket science. Straight up, stack sats and HODL, and then just move it over to my cold storage wallet. That's it, man. That's all I'm doing.
But you're also doing. That's all I'm doing. There's nothing. Dollar cost averaging, where you just buy a little bit, buy a little bit, buy a little bit, buy a little bit, buy a little bit. Forever and a day. All right,
pancakes, I already took that out, man. That's done. I'm done with those DeFi protocols.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you're not doing pancake? That's right, because pancake went down a lot. Yeah.
I took it out.
Took a nosedive. It's down to I think the fiat exchange rate is like $1.40 or something. It's pretty disappointing. I remember the highest it ever got to is almost $40, so it's 30x less than that right now. It's kind of sad. So, of course, I mean, it depends on how much you put into it.
You know, exactly. I wouldn't mind if it went. You know, I think my average buy-in was like at $5, $6. I can still recover from that once the market does actually go bull up. I don't know if it's ever going to go back up to $40 or $50. One that I'm keeping an eye on is Litecoin. You know, just because there's so much development going on with Litecoin.
Yep. Yeah, we've got the ordinals now.
The ordinals, and then they got the LTC 20s coming online. So there's a lot of developers. Obviously, it's pretty much mimicking everything that's going on over on Bitcoin right now. But it's obviously a lot more affordable on Litecoin.
Yeah, it's amazing that Litecoin's back in the top 20. The longest time it would have been pushed out, but it's almost in the top 10 right now. It's 11. It's amazing. It's worth $7 billion on the market cap.
Binance being pushed out?
No, Binance is still number 4. It's been there forever. I mean, it's not near its high, but nothing's near its high right now. I mean, the one thing I keep being reminded, at least as far as markets go, of the weirdness of the market. Because is doing really, really well. Caspa is doing really well right now. and everybody's mining that, and a lot of people are mining that, a lot more than I ever thought. And I tried mining it again. I'm like, no, I'm not going to make any money here because it's like, it's just a thing that kind of took over where, you know, Ethereum mining left off. It was one of the first coins to really, for people to really find a place to seriously dig into to mining again. Casper is one of those coins. And I know that, what's his name? Son of a Tech was talking. He talks about it a lot. The other one was Verge. Verge is up really a lot, and it's just staying up, and it's weird to see it up so high for so long with against the market. And when the market fell down a little bit, Verge didn't fall. Let's see where it is right now.
Do you think it matters if these other coins need a spot ETF? Or is Bitcoin good enough?
Oh, anybody can do a spot on any coin, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, but I guess my thinking is it going to make a big difference like the way it will with Bitcoin? I'm sure with Bitcoin, the market's really going to be shooken upwards in a positive way because there's going to be billions of dollars being dumped into Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin goes up, pretty much everything else goes up.
Yeah. Yeah. Bitcoin does. I mean, that's not even necessarily true because Ethereum doesn't always follow Bitcoin. And like I said, with these most recent changes, actually, I didn't say this, but let me just reiterate that I've been talking about in the past, is that since the break, was it late last year for Ethereum? Was it late last year? I don't remember when it happened. 2022. The Ethereum doesn't necessarily follow Bitcoin anymore. It's kind of its own thing. In fact, I would say even as far back as late 2021, Ethereum was already starting to make its own waves. And it was, yeah, if Bitcoin went up a lot, Ethereum would go up a lot because the exchange rate would have to keep up. But the coin itself hasn't been anywhere close to Bitcoin in quite some time, not just in price, but in comparative following. And I find that a lot of altcoins are doing that now. Even, you know, not huge coins like Verge. Verge isn't a really big coin, but Cardano hasn't really been following Solana, Tron, Avalanche, Uniswap. Don't necessarily follow even Ethereum anymore. They can go their own way. You know, Shiba Inu or Avalanche.
You're showing the market now. It's like Bitcoin is down.
Yeah, but Leo token is up. You know, Leo token is up. Polygon is up. Solana is up. BNB or Binance is up, and yet Bitcoin's down. What's up with that? You know, all these coins going in. Now, is Ethereum following Bitcoin right now? Yeah. They're also two of the largest traded coins. So.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of coins going against the trend, and I'm happy about that. I'm glad that unlike, I shouldn't even say that. In the fiat market, stock trading, not all stocks follow the market. You know, we've got sectors, right? People can look at different sectors and treat them separately, like what's it called, the Dow, or I can't think of the ones that for tech. I can't think of the name of it now, but anyways, the different sectors don't necessarily follow one sector, right? You've got a whole bunch of different groups that are all good at textiles and marketing and tech and media production. They're all different sectors of the market, and they don't all rise and fall simultaneously. Yeah, if there's a big old run or a big old a climb or a decline, yeah, the market probably all go together. But that's only with major moves. These aren't major moves. If Bitcoin exploded to 100K in the next month or something, yeah, everybody would follow. Because no one wants to be caught with a huge disparity between them and the first major coin. So, and if there is a major disparity, someone's going to pick up the slack and make a boatload of money, like the guy who bought all that Pepe coin before Pepe really hit the market. So, it can happen. Anyways, I guess what I'm saying is that as far as this talk of the of this, Bitcoin ETF stuff, it's the changes that need to be made you know, if these quote-unquote conditions are met. I don't even know if they can meet those conditions, you know, even if they know what they are. Because it feels like the Fed is afraid that because Bitcoin is so, Bitcoin or even, you know, crypto in general, because crypto in general is so easy to trade for the common man, they're worried that the common man will do exactly what they don't want them to do, which is put money in the market and make something out of it and get out of their hole. You know, if everybody has lots of money, then who's going to be rich anymore? And rich people are deathly afraid of that. They don't want everyone to be rich, then they won't be rich. You know, there's something to be said about the snootiness of rich people. Not all of them are that way, but a lot of them are. Like, oh, if everyone's has Nuevo, if everyone's Nuevo, we won't be special anymore. Yep. Well, wouldn't it be great if everyone was equal instead of not? Anyways, let's talk about Library and its collapse.
Okay, I was actually looking for Fidel. Okay, I couldn't find it. I was seeing what kind of coins Fidelity was listing. That's fine. Yeah, we'll move on over to Library. What do we have here? Library token plummets 18% as firm behind file sharing project shuts down.
Yeah.
So this has actually been, it shouldn't be a surprise. We've actually been talking about this for, what, 2 years already?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's been a while.
So it's not a surprise that this happened. It was, we were more than expecting this to happen. The company behind Library is gone. That's it.
They're going
to have to liquidate.
It's as if the Bitcoin Foundation disappeared overnight. Well, not overnight, but pretty quickly. Library's foundation, the company that created the Library token and the whole concept of Library in the first place, is been blown off the map and forced to pay a lot of money. And it's sad because it's we talked about this before. It's like if you divest the company that created the coin or the token of all the token and coin that it has, then who is there to sue, right? You're just a supporting entity. You're not a centralized entity like the Library Foundation have basically become. They know they passed off Odyssey. Odyssey is not part of Library. It's completely separate. So Odyssey itself doesn't have to disappear. But the group that originally set up the website for Library.tv, that's going to disappear. I mean, they could pass it off, I guess, to someone. But the nice thing is, like it is, and we've said this before, you know, countless times, because these are not central dependent things, they can exist on their own. We don't have to worry about them, their founding company being shut down by the SEC, because as long as, you know, a couple hundred nodes or even 10 nodes exist, that's enough to run the coin, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not really ultimately a bad thing. The people that are part of the Library token project, they're not going away unless they're going to prison, which I doubt is going to happen. They know what the fee is. If they can't pay it, then they're just going to pay what they can. And, you know, even with Library's, you know, $111,000 fee that they're fine that they're paying, rather, they did take away the $30 million larger fine, you know, punishment mm-hmm. fine. So
yeah, that was going to be like impossible.
Yeah, that would be absolutely impossible.
What is Library right now? Let's see.
How much is it? Total market cap? I don't know.
LBRY,
yeah.
LBC, sorry, LBC.
Oh, that's the token name. LBRY is LB credits. LBRY credits. It's currently worth, its current price is nearly 1 cent, having dropped like 18%. They said it's about 15%.
Cap is $6 million.
Yeah, $6 million.
So they weren't going to be able to pay the $30 million.
No, but they don't even own all that coin, so it wouldn't matter anyways.
Exactly.
I'm actually kind of surprised because the Library token coin hasn't really dropped an immense amount. Like when I got into it was worth somewhere around 6 or 7 cents, and now it's like close to 1 cent. It's not a huge change. It's not even a factor of 10.
From its all-time high at $1.16.
No, I agree. Yes, the highest ever was, but you know, almost all coins start out high. So, not all of them, but
just
a lot
to reiterate, the whole idea is hopefully it stays decentralized. Hopefully these nodes stay running, and I say hopefully is because There is technically a key holder to these nodes.
Yep.
Right? Yes, it's decentralized, but there is a key master that holds these nodes.
Mm-hmm.
Where you stake your tokens into. So if they're forced to shut them down, then that means bye-bye to Web3 digital content.
Well, I mean, right. But I mean, you know that a person who's a token or a node holder is also a person who holds content, right? If you download the library node application and you host files, then it's really not that much than IPFS. You know, you're a file holder. And so you can continue the library network just by holding some files. Now, will that be all the files? No. But will it be a lot of them? Sure. So it's entirely possible that a lot of the library network can continue on with just the people who are running the application and watching the videos and hopefully producing the videos. So I know I held it for a long time, but until I ran out of space in my hard drive.
But nobody, but who would support it if the token keeps going down in value?
People who really like the concept.
Yeah, right? I do. I like
it. Yeah, I like it too. So, I mean, honestly, if the fiat value of library dropped 100x, I'd still support it. And in fact, even if it dropped 1,000x, I'd still support it. So it's the purpose of an idea and not its fiat to, you know, coin exchange rate. As long as people are willing to support this, to people like Odyssey, I mean, you're looking at Odyssey, yeah, you're looking at Odyssey right now, then there's something out there. And content is the real purpose of all that's being done here. So
library.tv is the decentralized, uncensored version of Odyssey. That's the one that's technically no longer publicly available, like the way Odyssey is. And Odyssey is the platform which is filtered and
right, sounds like YouTube.
Censored, but you know, yeah. Obviously for uploading, yeah. You know,
if you're
going to
upload
really bad
stuff that's content, not, if you don't own the content, then library is not going to display it on their platform.
On the Odyssey platform.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Odyssey's not going
to
display it,
but they can't stop you from uploading to the library platform.
Right, to library.tv or library's network. You can upload whatever you want to that. And that was one of the things, we talked about this with Mike way back when we first formed this, and I said, this is my problem with IPFS, is anybody can upload anything. And there's not really any consequences to it. I mean, if somebody figures out it's you that uploaded, they can try to hold you accountable.
That would be the consequence, exactly that. And don't try to overlook that. I mean, obviously you can still data trace thumbprints, data thumbprinting, or MAC addresses,
right?
All that data does actually go through, unless you're really good at obfuscating
your data,
your data tracks.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I don't know what the requirements are to upload that particular data to library, because I don't really.
Oh, uploading to library is really easy. So
the back, yeah, but on the back end, I'm not quite sure what kind of data they're pulling from my end. Obviously, since it's cloned over from YouTube, YouTube does hold all of that data,
mm-hmm.
that metadata on the back end, mm-hmm. absolutely, indefinitely. So if it's copied over, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Odyssey or library has that data as well.
Yeah, they do.
It's kind
a
of,
lot of
you
it.
Know, yeah, which kind of a little sus that they hold a lot of our data.
Right.
You know? But at least they're transparent. At least we know the faces of who Odyssey is, or sorry, the library team is. So there's that.
It's disappointing, but like we said, as long as there's a few nodes out there to the network, it doesn't really matter if the foundation exists anymore. The foundation was there to promote the idea and build it from the beginning, but we don't need it anymore necessarily. So I mean, Odyssey is obviously making a platform for people to see some filtered content, but at least it is content that everyone has access to. If you want to get to, it's almost like a Tor network, right? You know, you can get to Tor and you can download whatever you want from Tor. But this is a media-based network, so it's not just video, although it's majority of what people put up. You got video, you've got audio, you've got photos. There's a whole bunch of different things that you can put up on Library's platform. Pretty much, if it's media, it's uploadable.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, but I think you're overlooking the whole fact that majority of people that are using this particular platform is distributing their content on Odyssey. Odyssey can be pulled.
No, I know, but the network, Library is the network.
The network will keep going.
Yeah, but Library is the network, and that's where everything's going in the first place. Everything's going to the Library network. Yeah. Odyssey just, pulls it all into one place so you can see it more easily, and then they also cache the
So if somebody files. Goes out or and actually say, for example, Odyssey's forced to be shut down, they actually have to shut down the website. Yeah, those nodes will still stay up. Somebody else has to go up and spin up a new new platform to utilize all that data on the back end and reconnect I guess those APIs. If those APIs are available, which I think they are. Yeah. I'm pretty sure
there's no
they?
Page.
Yeah, they are, right?
Yep. Yeah, they're all available.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
on GitHub.
Yeah. It's not really that complicated. The fortunate thing is there is a network at all for Odyssey to get its content from. So it'd be great if it were more popular like YouTube or some other platform, Facebook or something. So maybe eventually. Maybe if the major video sharing networks disappear, Library will still be there as long as at least one person is still hosting something. And heck, the entire blockchain will still be there, right? Even if you can't necessarily store all those videos. That's the thing that's so funny about it. It's like if you watch a video, it downloads into your system if you have the Library node or application. And so every single one that you download, of course, it gets reshared to other people who are watching it. But the if there was only like 10 networks left or 10 nodes left or one node left, then you'd only get what was on that node. So I don't think that'll happen. Too many people are still interested in this project. So, well, that's about all we have for the show. Thanks everybody for listening. And you can of course check out the things that we're interested in, like our coin tree. That's corintr.ee/c3media. You can see all of our links there. We've been talking about Pacific Bitcoin lately and the Bitcoin conference again will be happening in Tennessee. So Pacific Bitcoin will be in Los Angeles, and the Bitcoin, which is normally in Miami, will actually be in Nashville next year at the end of July. And those are the two major events that we're both interested in. You guys want to check that out. But you can also, of course, check out our CoinTree list with all of the places you can check out our media, as well as places you can donate to us and join us on Discord if you like to talk to us. We always appreciate that. And you can catch us here on Twitch and or YouTube, as well as all those different Spotify podcasts that are listening only. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And as we say at the end of every single show, stack sats and hodl.
And hodl.
Adios.
Adios.